Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
Pastor, you don't know what they did to me, but you know what? The Bible tells us what they did to Jesus. Well, I'm not Jesus, but the Word said that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh, come on, we can have this argument all day if you want to. See, we got to stop making excuses for unforgiveness, because unforgiveness will destroy your life. Foundations of Faith, Part 3. We started this. This is the third part of the series. I felt it imperative that we finish it. The first week we did love. The second week we did obedience. That was last Sunday morning. Today is forgiveness, and next week will be honor. There were four things the Lord had spoken to my spirit concerning certain foundational principles of our faith. Now, obviously, there are many different things we could talk about, but these were four things, Brother Alton, that God laid on my heart and said that many times are being forgotten, markers that we're overlooking, that we're moving past. And I believe that this is one that can be sensitive. You can say amen. It can be touchy at times. Sometimes I think we ignore it. I think that we don't understand always what it really means to walk in a life of forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. All right, don't you go to sleep on me today. I got up at 4 o'clock yesterday morning, drove to Franklin Springs, sat in conference all day long. I texted Pastor Rick Womack during the conference, and I said, if they don't stop playing this lullaby music, I'm going to fall asleep. They had some music, soft music playing during the ends of the altar, and I'm sitting there, and my eyes are doing this number, you know. It was tough. I want to read you a little something I think will set the course for where we're going today. Why should I forgive? Are you ready? During a children's sermon one Sunday morning, the pastor held up an ugly-looking summer shirt. Anybody ever had one of those? That he wore occasionally around the house. He explained to the children that someone said the shirt was ugly and should be thrown away. That really hurt me, he explained. I'm having trouble forgiving the person who said those mean things. Do you think I should forgive that person? He asked the children. Immediately, his 6-year-old daughter, Alicia, raised her hand. Yes, you should, she said without hesitation. But why? The person hurt my feelings, he responded. To which Alicia, his daughter, wisely announced, because you're married to her. If you're going to forgive anybody, you better forgive your wife. Somebody say amen. I find that it's often common in the church that we struggle with the idea of forgiveness. We struggle with the idea of, can God forgive me? I know that we've learned to smile on Sunday morning and go through the religious motions many times. And many of us, like even Matt talked about today, we've been raised in church. Some of us right down the road received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, many in this very room today. But sometime in the back of our minds and in the back of our hearts, we struggle with the idea and the concept, because we know what we've done. We know what that maybe no one else has seen that we've done in private. Amen. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we ask ourselves, can God really forgive me? Can God help me? I've been through divorce. Can God help me? I've been through mistakes. Can God help me? I've done things that aren't always church-wide acceptable. Well, amen. The truth is, if God can't forgive me, is there any hope? I happen to believe Brother James said he can. I happen to believe today, and I want to show you today, Ben, that no matter what we've been through, where we've been, what we've done, what we've experienced, what failures or successes we may have had in life, that God Almighty is big enough, bad enough, strong enough, powerful enough, amen, to see me through whatever I face. No matter what anyone else's opinion of me may be, it's God's opinion that really matters. I want to give you today three areas of forgiveness that we're going to examine. And I promise you, I'm not going to preach all day. Can somebody say amen? Maybe to about 1 o'clock. Some of you get that one later. Anyway, three areas of forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness through Christ. I want us to see that this morning. I want us to see forgiveness for others. I want us to see what some of the results of forgiveness and unforgiveness are in our life. Forgiveness through Christ, forgiveness for others, and then the results of walking in a life of either forgiveness or unforgiveness. Now, I know this isn't always an easy subject, but I'm going to preach it today because I know that it's going to break some barriers, destroy some bondages, and open some new doors. A lifestyle of forgiveness. An attitude and a heart that's passionate about walking in it. Number one, forgiveness through Christ. Let's look at it. Matt already quoted this. I think it's perfect timing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have. Most of us learned that in Sunday school as a child. I learned it to get a pack of now-laters. Do you remember that? The little candy, now and later. We called them now-laters. That's how we said it. Come on, raise your hand if you remember that candy. I know you do. Thank you. Some of us can't eat them anymore. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. It has been the plan of God since the fall of Adam and Eve to restore us back to relationship. God gave His Son that no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter what sins have been committed, His Son died on the cross of Calvary. You say, Brother John, I've been serving the Lord for 20 years, but there's some of us sitting in this room today that still struggle with the assurance of our salvation. I can't tell you how many years in the early part of our marriage that I would look into that mirror and I would say, God, I hate who I've become. I hate what I do. I don't want to be this man. I don't want to keep repeating these same things. I wanted to change, but I couldn't understand how God could love me. Forgive me. When last Sunday I repented, but on Monday I repeated the same thing again. Because good church folks would say, well, I thought you got saved. Well, I'm preaching on grace right now. I'm talking about the fact that He knew every rotten thing you'd ever do before He ever hung on the cross of Calvary, but He went there anyway. He loves you. He loves me. This morning as you were gathering and coming in, and I can't help but do this. Sometimes it's just how my heart works and how God uses me. I can't help but look out and think how blessed I am. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because I believe it. It is God's grace that I get to stand on this platform today and share with you the love of Jesus Christ. Because if I walk in the generational pattern that was created for me by, not created, but established by the evil that's in this world and that was even in my heritage. No, there were generational blessings and promises and anointings that somewhere along the way as a young man being raised up in church that God allowed me to see that He had a purpose greater for my life. I say to you today, you're not sitting here by chance. God has a purpose for your life. He gave His Son that you might be forgiven. I'm preaching way better than y'all acting this morning. Amen. Forgiveness in action. I want to read you this today. You ready? Pastor Hayes, a man in his middle 40s, just a little bit older than me, was well loved by his congregation and faithful to God and to his family. He enjoyed a successful ministry in an exuberantly vital, growing church like Mountain Gap. Just when everything seemed to be going well, a cloud came over this man and his ministry. Rumors circulated throughout the church that Pastor Hayes was guilty. Notice what I said. Rumors circulated throughout the church that Pastor Hayes was guilty of moral misconduct. He had been seen at the home of Miss Morrow, a school teacher, just weeks before she resigned for personal reasons and moved to another city. Apparently, someone in the church put two and two together and came up with five. Pastor Hayes was innocent. But the stain of the alleged scandal could not be erased. The rumors followed Pastor Hayes for years, seriously hampering his effectiveness as a pastor. It was difficult for him to endure the rejection, the mistreatment, the misunderstanding caused by the false rumors. But it was even more difficult for him to witness the toll of these events on his wife, on his teenage son. It was 10 years later, after his son graduated from college, that Pastor Hayes learned how the hurtful rumors began. One night, a man the pastor had not seen for years appeared at his door. Brother McLean, said Pastor Hayes in surprise, I haven't seen you in, well, 8 years, McLean supplied. It's been 8 years since I left the church. Mr. McLean had been an elder in the church, but left a few months after the term expired. Pastor Hayes studied McLean's features. He looked older and something was clearly troubling him. Please come in, the pastor invited him warmly. No, McLean answered quickly. I only have a few minutes to talk. I just had to tell you that I was the one responsible. What? Don't. The story about you and Miss Morrow? McLean interrupted. I was the one who started it all. You, Pastor Hayes? Hands and voice trembled as old emotions flooded back. But why? You knew I was innocent, didn't you? Miss Morrow left town to care for her dying father. She called me to her house that day when she learned of her father's cancer. I went there to pray with her. How could you twist that info? I know. Tears began to fill the other man's eyes. I was twisted, Pastor. I was with jealousy. You see, before you came, I was the leader in this church. The previous pastor asked my advice on everything. People looked up to me. The programs I was involved in were flourishing. But when you came, a lot of new people came into the church. There were so many new programs, and people didn't listen to my ideas anymore. The church got so big and took on a different direction. I felt left behind. I was so angry and bitter against you, Pastor Hayes. I don't expect you to forgive me, but I just had to tell you. The pastor stepped toward the man who had deeply hurt him for 10 years. He wrapped his arms around Mr. McLean and he embraced him. Then the yellow glow of the porch light, McLean sobbed away years of pent-up sorrow and guilt in the arms of the man he had wronged. And Pastor Hayes held him with strong arms, forgiveness, and unconditional love, saying repeatedly, I forgive you, my brother. I forgive you. I don't know that I could have found a more fitting story to illustrate what it means to forgive. When we're faced with the opportunity where someone has deeply done us wrong, where someone has lied, even in this very week, my wife and I found ourselves in a position, found ourselves in a place to stand before someone that, or someone's, that I knew had spoke very negatively toward us. I knew that were hurt and angry at us, and I knew that their wounds were deep, and I knew that those wounds were of no direct fault of our own, but yet at the same time they were angry nevertheless, and they were hurt. And my wife and I walked in and I said, do not avoid them, go straight to them. I'm not the dude that's going to meet you in the marketplace, and because I think you're upset with me, I'm going to turn and go the other way. Come on now. If I think you're hurt at me, I think you're upset at me, I think there's some wrong, I'm coming straight to you. I'm going to look at you dead in the eye and I'm going to tell you that I love you. I'm going to fail. You're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. But let me tell you something. If we're going to walk up right before God, we've got to learn to walk in a life of forgiveness. Churches are destroyed today because of unforgiveness. Ministries are falling and failing because of unforgiveness. Preachers make mistakes and people won't forgive them. And leaders make mistakes or we hear something about them and we just decide we're angry at them. Well, amen. I'm preaching way better than you're letting on right now. Amen. Forgiveness at school. Forgiveness for teachers. Hallelujah. You don't know what a bad day they may have had. They might be married to some rotten old dude. Or the other 300 or 400 kids they're working with have about drove them insane. Somebody say, let every teacher in the house say amen. You never know what they've been through. I tell Kylie, you be the smiling face. Amen, like Miss Haney did with the apples and Bridge the Gap. You be the apple bearer. Today it might be a Snicker bar, but either way, do something nice. Forgiveness. Luke 23:34 said, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Father, forgive them. Can I tell you something? There are many times that hurt is being passed toward us and people aren't even understanding what they're doing. I cannot tell you over 20 years or 22 years of pastoring how many times I've seen hurt turn toward my family. And the first thing I would think of is, do they not realize what they're doing to my children? Be mad at me. Be angry at me. But don't hurt my wife. Don't hurt my babies. Stay distant from them. They don't deserve it. You say, Pastor, that's tough. But it is true and you know it. It's wrong. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. I've had to learn over the years that many times people are moving out of their own pain and out of their own frustration and out of their own anger, and they don't understand. They're not looking. I've had people over the years write a letter to the bishop. One lady wrote a letter, and she's gone on to be with the Lord. In fact, I held her hand days before she took her last breath and prayed with her and loved her, even though one time she wrote a letter to the bishop and said, he's a false prophet. She was mad at me. Stephanie, I'd hurt her feelings. And I said, how did I hurt your feelings? Because I told her daughter that it was time to bury the hatchet and walk in love and to forgive her mom. And now I'm a false prophet. Pride. Man, I just decided I was going to come in here and let her rip this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 26:28 said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Said, we heard about it even from Matt this morning. Shed for many for the remission of sin. Jesus, who was a Jew, hung on the cross of Calvary, gave his life, conquered death, hell, and the grave. He wasn't white or southern or black. Well, I'm preaching now. Amen. My mind says, stay away from what you're about to say. Maybe I should. He didn't sing out the red back hymnal. Southern gospel didn't exist. Come on now. All the things. There were no fights over colors of carpet. Come on. Instead, their very life depended on their faithfulness. The things that we get bent out of shape over, Jesus was not, in the young people's terms, he wasn't studying it. He was focused on the purpose which was assigned to him by God the Father. Come on now. Gave up heaven. Gave up the streets of gold. Amen. Gave up all of those things to walk in the dust and to lay it all down, to surrender his life. For what reason? To forgive us. He didn't care what color we were, how rich we were, how poor we were. He came because he knew we were sick. And that without him, as the word has said, Jesus Christ, Carmen, is our hope of glory. There is no hope without faith in the Son of God. The Son of God knew every wrong. We've said it already, but his love is unconditional. The second thing we're going to look at this morning is forgiveness for others. Just as we are forgiven, we are commanded to forgive. Ben and I discussed this the other day for a little while. And he said something that stirred in my heart. It caused me to go back and think more. I want to say it again. Forgiveness for others. Not only do you and I sit in this house today, tell me one person that doesn't want forgiveness by the Son of God in this house this morning. Why? Tell me one of us that would want to gut die and go to a devil's hell. Show me one here today. I don't believe it. I believe you're here today because God has already been dealing with your heart. I believe you're here today because, Stacey, the work of the Holy Spirit goes beyond the borders and the boundaries of these walls. I believe you're here today because somebody loves you that's greater than you and greater than me. But I want to say to you this morning, if we're going to walk in that love, we've got to learn to forgive other people. I'll be the first to tell you, forgiveness isn't always easy. Sometimes I am quick to apologize. I run rapidly to the apology because I want peace. But there's times I've been hurt so deep that, I'll tell you this, in marriage, you can hurt each other deeper than anyone else can. This lady knows everything about me. She knows me in ways that some ways you'll never know me. Well, amen. I'm not giving you a smooch on the mouth. Somebody say amen. She knows me. Amen. But she also can hurt me. When it's someone so close and someone so loved and someone so dear who inflicts the pain, it makes it more difficult. Ephesians 4:32 said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is the word. I'm going to meddle a moment. That means you got to forgive that mean father that maybe abandoned you, Don't let his actions define you. You've got to forgive that ex-wife or husband. Well, amen. That lied and mistreated you. Oh, that's not easy. You've got to forgive that pastor, that leader that failed you. Amen. It's getting real quiet now. Got in the meat of it. One day you may have to forgive me. I might have to forgive you. Amen. It's not easy. You say, Pastor, I'm not ready for that. Can I tell you something? We should always stand ready to walk in forgiveness. Our flesh doesn't want it. Our flesh denies it. Our flesh fights it. But our spirit, if you stop feeding your spirit, you begin to die. Never stop. You run toward it. It's the hardest thing in the world. It's like a force field has been locked around you. But when wrong is done, run toward it with the determination to forgive. Run toward it to share love. Run toward it. I mean, don't run away. Don't talk about it. Don't lie. Don't deceive. Don't gossip. Just run straight toward it and say, I forgive you. I repent right now. Let's not do this. Let's deal with it right now. Sometimes a little spat at home or something, I'll say to my wife, I say, you know what, we're not doing this. I love you, you're right. Then that sometimes will make your wife real mad when you just tell her she's right and they know you're just saying it to say it. And sometimes I just say, listen, I love you, let's not argue. It's not worth it, this is stupid and we both know it. We'll come back when we've calmed down and talk about it later. I know none of you have ever done that, but it's crazy the stuff sometimes we argue about. Amen. Just learn to not have to be right. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Colossians 3:13 said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, hear what I've said. Hear what the word said. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We want His forgiveness. Why should we forgive? When I wrote this message, I wrote these words down. And this is what I heard. Because Jesus said so. And then I heard, why? Why? And you know what I thought of, Steve? I thought of children. We say things like, Neely, because Ashley, I said Neely, sorry. I'm learning still, and I don't even know the difference. Where's Neely? She's not in here. She's out working. Children say, but why? And what do we say? Sometimes we follow up with, because I'm going to beat the brakes off of you if you don't do what I told you to do. Not really that strong, but you know what I mean. Some of these mamas are like, yeah, you ain't been at my house lately. I've been there. I mean, Kylie's 14. $5. I think I should start making her invest that back into the ministry every time I say her name. Susie hadn't had a spanking in a long time. She told me that didn't count. That's kind of like saying words that aren't cuss words but sound like cuss words. Why should we forgive? Because Jesus said so. But we say why and why. And it's not enough to us in our humanity because He said so. Well, Pastor, it should be. Let me tell you the results. Not just He said it, but the results. For if you forgive men their trespasses, Matthew 6:14. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Now I'm going to tell you, I've told over this passage more than once. I said to my wife as she came home for lunch that day, I was sitting there at the table, fully immersed in this point, and I looked at her and said, why is it we should forgive? Tell me your opinion. Because Jesus said we should. I said, go further. Tell me more. Why should we forgive? Because we can't be forgiven if we're not forgiving. And I said, but what does that really mean? Is not God's grace sufficient? when I myself am struggling with forgiveness for someone who's offended me? Does that mean that, but yet Paul said not to justify sin in our life, not to tolerate sin in our life. And in fact, just because grace abounds, he said, don't let it stick around. Deal with it. Why? Because ultimately sin is separation from God. Here's what it boils down to. As I begin to search my heart, I begin to realize that if we are unwilling to forgive, the real question is, have we ever truly been forgiven? Oh, man. I mean, you know, praise Jesus, hallelujah, on Sunday morning, but we hate somebody. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me, but you know what? The Bible tells us what they did to Jesus. Well, I'm not Jesus, but the Word said that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Oh, come on, we can have this argument all day if you want to. See, we got to stop making excuses for unforgiveness, because unforgiveness will destroy your life. Oh, I could spend the rest of this message, the time that's been allowed to me, telling you the rotten things that's been done to me in ministry, the lies that's been told. I could tell you about times that Dr. Beecham and Ted Coody and various conference leaders came and sat down in a nursery. In fact, I'll never forget the day they did it there in Albany, Georgia. They sat down in the nursery because the former treasurer of that church accused me of taking money. I didn't write checks, didn't sign checks, didn't touch cash, didn't deposit money. Had never been accused of anything like that in my life. They did it by a simple pencil eraser in a checkbook. They took the check stubs, and every time I'd had a reimbursement, they erased it. Put a question mark on the stub. Dr. Beecham and them, they walked in because it was put into writing. They had to acknowledge it because the church there had been through so much controversy and so much wrong, and my job was to reestablish, and the former pastor had embezzled $80,000. Well, amen. Doug and all of them came in, and I'll never forget, his name slipped my mind, Lonnie Williams. Brother Lonnie Williams, who served on our conference council back then, we sat down in that room and he looked up at me and said, Pastor, this is the most fitting room in the church to have this meeting. It was in the nursery. He said, this is stupid. Long story short, I had every reimbursement voucher I'd ever been given signed by the secretary, which she did not know I had, that matched every check stub with her signature on it. What are you saying? Listen, people will lie. People will deceive. The devil is evil. The Bible said that he seeks to steal, to kill, and destroy. But to this day, if I were to see them in the street, I'm going to smile. I'm going to shake their hand. I'm going to treat them with kindness. It is not my job for revenge. It is my job to forgive. I'm not going to trust them with my bank account. But I'm not going to spend my days talking about them. Or wishing them harm. Why? Because God changes our lives. Who knows where they are today on their walk in the kingdom? I had a dear friend of mine that someone lied about him. And before you knew it, he was in handcuffs and arrested and being accused of sexual misconduct in his ministry. Only while on the stand, the very accuser recanted and ended up being charged theirself. He was exonerated from all charges, never faced it again. But it was too late. The church that he had built to 150 people, that was buying a new building, was the fastest growing church in the community, had fell apart because of the lies. I read a statement recently that said that Ronald Reagan once said when he was shot that he knew his direct road to recovery was dependent on his willingness to forgive the man who had shot him. Well, amen. I also read a report that said that many people today are in the hospital because of guilt and unforgiveness. There are people today that are extra medicated because of guilt and unforgiveness. Do you know who the one that takes care of guilt is? The one who forgave you. Give up the guilt. Forgive the one that did wrong. How do I forget? How do I forgive? I can't forget. Forgiveness is not forgetting in spite of what people tell you. It's the willingness to no longer bring it up in a negative fashion. That is true forgiveness. This mind of mine remembers things and I cast them down, because if I dwell there, then I walk in unforgiveness. But if I confess I love them, I confess I forgive them. Well, amen. Somebody say amen. High five your neighbor and tell him, wake up. I should have told you, tell him to wake up before you high five him, because there's no telling where you hit him at. Where was I? I'm almost done, I promise. forbearing one another, forgiving one another. We said in Matthew 6:14, if we forgive men their trespasses, God will forgive us. But if we don't forgive, here's my point. If you despise their face, you despise their name. If they called you today and you were unwilling to serve them as Jesus did, ask yourself, have you truly forgiven them? Amen. If you're unwilling to forgive, then ask yourself, have I been forgiven? Because see, when the presence of God is within inside of you and you're in relationship, you can't pray and not deal with unforgiveness. You'll either deal with unforgiveness or you quit praying. You quit praying, you start dying. This is a tough one today, but I tell you because I love you. I wrote this message that this whole process of series and sermons started weeks ago, having no idea that I would walk through one of these very positions in my own life. Having to say to someone, I am so sorry, please forgive me. Doing everything I humbly knew how to make it right and to help walk in forgiveness. But you can't force someone to forgive you. But you can forgive them. Amen. Ultimately, the unwillingness to forgive is an act of sin. Amen. Ultimately, the unwillingness to forgive is an act of sin, which in itself cannot be forgiven until forgiveness is released. Jesus, how are you, Lord? I think sometimes phones go off. It's like a confirmation from God for me. Did you hear what I said? Unwillingness to forgive. The word said to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Well, Brother John, stop it. We could do that all day long. Forgive. How do you start it? Lord, I take Sue before you, not Sue, but that's a name I just threw off the cuff there. Susie, Leonard. Is there any Leonards in here? Leonard, before you, God, and I choose to forgive them. Maybe you can't go to them any longer. But you can lay them before the Lord and say, Father, I forgive them for the evil. I forgive them for the wrong. I forgive them for being mean to me. I forgive them. I confess it out loud. And I choose to walk in love toward them. And I will pray. First start is, Lord, bless them. I can remember times in my life where I called someone's name that God would bless them. That's hard. I don't want to bless them. I don't want to help them. I don't want them to be encouraged. I don't want them to be any of those things. And then that's unforgiveness. The Bible said they've mistreated you to bless them. Well, amen. Hebrews 12:14-15 said, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, everybody say holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And that no bitter roots, everybody say bitter, grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I remember when I went to the encounter some years ago, Pastor Trey's church there in Macon. I walked through an experience in my life, and some of it I've shared with you a little about what God did in my life during that time. But the hardest thing that I had to do, and this is very pastoral and very transparent. It's one thing I'm learning. We often present ourselves so much as perfect and flawless, and we all have our issues. But I sat down with my daughter and had to say, forgive me for having feelings of hatred toward you. How could a parent hate their child, we say? I didn't hate her. I hated the pain she had put me through. I hated the rebellion that she had walked in at 17 years of age. I hated it. And so when I saw her, it represented all of that. And it represented the shame that I felt when, as pastor, I had preached the messages, talked the talk and walked the walk. And all of a sudden, right in front of me, it wasn't being demonstrated. God changed me that day. With tears running down my face and tears running down her face, I looked at her and said, will you forgive me Because no matter what mistakes you've ever made, my love for you and His love for you should never change. We like to think that we raise perfect children, but sometimes those children do things we wish we could take back. Let me give you this and we'll close this message. The results of a life of forgiveness or unforgiveness. Forgiveness leads to joy, peace, holiness, and freedom. Unforgiveness leads to bondage, bitterness, frustration, sorrow, and bitter fruit. See, when you harbor unforgiveness in your life, that root of bitterness begins to produce a tree. And that tree's fruit will not be pleasant. No one can take from that fruit toy and get anything good out of it. It will be bitter. I say this to you because I love you, because God called me to pastor you. And to tell you that if we're going to walk with solid foundations of faith, one of the areas of our life that must be addressed is if we are willing to forgive. It may be within this own house toward each other. Somebody might have cooked your cake or your pie. You ever heard those stories? It seems real quiet in here right now. You ever seen or heard the story? Somebody cooked so-and-so's meal and brought it to the church gathering. They wouldn't speak to each other for 10 years. You say, I would never do that, but there are some people that think that way. We were playing the cakewalk thing. What do you call that? When you go around in circles and sit down in a chair and win the cake. It's cakewalk. This one lady wanted the cake so bad she shoved another lady out the chair, my first pastor, and broke her arm. Of course, as a pastor, forgive me, first thing I thought was, well, insurance cover that. I've heard y'all bid on some cakes around here and get really crazy about it, man, because, hey, they're good. I've had to taste them. Just don't break anybody's arm, amen? And if you don't win the auction, be nice. I'm just picking. I've not heard anything negative, I promise. God has called us to a life of forgiveness. Will you join me? Will you? Will you accept His? Will you forgive others? See, some of you today need to accept Christ. Some of you today need to let Him. You say, Pastor, it's later than normal. I understand that completely. But you know what? So what with our schedule for a little while? Every now and then we go a little over. It's not going to kill us. We're not going to die. How many of you watch the dogs play? How long did that game last? Hold on. I heard this at conference yesterday. It was good. Said when we get His passion, our director of evangelism, I believe, EVUSA, said he was our presiding officer. He made the statement. He said, I want us to get as passionate about the lost as we are about our football games. Come on now. I mean, I'm a diehard dog fan, but you know they wasn't playing anybody that mattered. Come on, tell the truth. Cupcake. Y'all have them too. Don't be criticizing my team. I'll cast that devil out of you. Come here. I'm kidding. I was really picking. I love you. Hope you know that. Here's my point. We'll do anything to see that game. When the pastor says we got to go 15, 20 minutes over, we're like dying. I wish he'd let us go to the house. Man, I got food. I got the fast today. I feel the Lord. Fast. Now you'll wait a few minutes. Amen. Adrian Rogers said this, and this is my final statement. You will discover that your life is more joyful when you uproot your bitterness. If God gave us justice, every person hearing this would die and go to hell. Thank God for His mercy that removes His hand of punishment from us. Praise God for His grace that gives us a brand new life. Can I tell you something? Some of you are about to walk in joy. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody's mistreated you. And in all reality, maybe they deserve to be tased for it. Amen. Maybe it's a little more violent. You'd assume to drag them behind the car. Here's what I'll tell you. I want you to be free. I want you to be happy, full of joy, overflowing, because you can't share the love of Jesus with anybody when you sit idled, swamped, and saturated in your own bitterness of unforgiveness. Be free. I forgave my real father a long time ago, not because he deserved it, nor more than I have deserved God's. But I forgave him because I wanted to be free. I wanted to love my babies the way they deserve to be loved, outside of the shadow of unforgiveness over my life. Would you stand with me this morning? We can plan all the events. We can do all the ministry tasks, duties, deeds, and responsibilities. But if we're unwilling to pursue a life of forgiveness, everybody say forgive, we'll never be free. Maybe you're here today and your wife has hurt you. Maybe you're here today and your husband has hurt you. Maybe you're here today and your children have hurt you. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you have failed God miserably and you've asked yourself, how could he forgive me? I preach my heart out to you this morning to tell you about the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. I preach my heart out to tell you that there is hope and promise for you. I'm here to tell you today that he died for you. Do not allow the sorrows of yesterday to rob you of the joys of tomorrow. It's time. If you're unwilling to forgive, I need to ask you this. Are you really saved? I'm not sure, Pastor. Well, then let's get that right now, today. Let's get it right. Because here's what I'll tell you happen. If you really give it all to the Lord, he'll take it. The word that talks about casting your cares on the Lord, when you begin to study that out from its original concept, you'll find that the teaching means like when a camel with a heavy load would kneel down and roll off its weight. Some of you today need to kneel down and roll off that weight.
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.